Dr. Peter McCullough says the most common question he's asked is, how do I get this out of my body? Spike Support Formula is the only product that contains ingredients researched to block and dissolve spike protein in the bloodstream. So whether you got the shot, had a bad bout of COVID, or are worried about shedding, there is something you could do now to protect yourself. Head to twc.health/Kirk to buy the wellness company Spike Support Formula and get back to feeling your best. Use promo code Kirk at checkout for 10% off your order. That is promo code Kirk for 10% off your order. Hey, everybody. Thank the Charlie Kirk Show. Arizona State University is lying about Turning Point USA. Also, the speaker mess continues. It's like a Chinese fire drill. We keep on saying that, and it's not getting better. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That's tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Become a member, charliekirk.com. Click on the members tab. That's charliekirk.com. And click on the members tab. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. That's freedom@charliekirk.com. But buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the Loan Experts I Trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. It was quite a weekend, I got to tell you, being called an anti-Semite all throughout social media. And then we have this other incident, story, that occurred at Arizona State University. Just so you know, at Turning Point USA, we're doing so much. We have this amazing journalist investigative reporting team, Frontlines, and Kalen does a great job of running it. Kalen, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So Kalen, while I'm dealing with all that, all of a sudden I'm seeing all these stories that are coming up, and Michael Crow from Arizona State University condemns Turning Point USA. And I'm like, oh, what's going on here? And first of all, I just love the work that Frontlines does. And as soon as I read, I said, there's someone's lying about that. I just knew it. My gut instinct, right? Because you guys do a great job. And so essentially, you and your team went to go act as journalists, a member of the press, to go ask a current professor, Professor Boyles, who's a sponsor of Drag Queen Story Hour, right? Some questions. And from there, things got a little bit unpredictable. Tell us about it.
Right. So, well, Professor Boyles, he made the professor watch list. It's a great resource for parents, for students to know who is teaching on their campuses. And so we found Professor Boyles' profile, and we learned, okay, this is somebody who thinks that drag is a myth, that it harms children, which is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, it's perverse.
Exactly. And they call it that because we don't know what harm is going to come of it yet. We don't know yet. But everyone who has a brain in their head kind of can see down the road and see where that leads. Then two, he thinks that books like All Boys Are Not Blue, which has very graphic demonstration of gay sex between minors... Huh. In it. He thinks that should be in public libraries.
That's him on screen, right? Yeah, got it.
That should be in public libraries, he thinks.
So you went to go ask him questions about his publicly stated beliefs, including a now taken down Substack where he was talking about him having sex with minors. Yeah, I want to make sure I get the facts right here.
Yeah, so the story that he wrote on his Substack was about a minor who eventually has sex with adults.
And he took down that from the internet.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So you guys then do what you do best at Frontlines. You decided to go ask him questions as a journalist, a member of the press, constitutionally protected speech. And basically, you guys follow him, ask questions. He gets angry. He lunges at one of you in an act of self-defense. Was it you or somebody else who then intercepted him? And now he is accusing you of assault. Is that a fair? Because we'll show the videos.
Yeah.
And this is totally baseless, by the way. We'll show you the videos. This is a guy who's a sick puppy who didn't like that questions were being asked. He started to lunge. There was a response to that. And now ASU and the media is defending this professor, accusing our organization of something totally, as you would probably anticipate. They're saying, oh, it's anti-LGBTQ. This is a huge story. It's happening in Arizona. And this is the playbook, right? If you go as a journalist and try to pursue the truth, they get angry. And, you know, Kalen, this is the old NFL football rule, right? College football. The second guy gets the flag, right?
Right.
And so the media says, oh, you know, you're hold on a second. He lashed out first. Let's play cut 20. You guys be the jury. Play cut 20.
Hey there, David. How you doing?
Oh, hey. How you doing?
Good, good, good. Hey, I just was wondering if I could ask you a couple questions.
Nope.
Why not? How long you've been attracted to minors? Or how long you've fantasized about minors having sex with adults and why you write about it in children's books? What are you going to tell me? Nothing? Why do you feel like children need to be exposed to drag? Why is that something that children should be exposed to? And why do you feel that drag queens benefit from children being present at drag shows where they shake their genitals and their fake breasts? Also, I was taking a look at your Substack and it seems like you really, really hate Americans. And it's funny because you would like to see a different America exist where little boys are sodomized by people like you, right? Hey.
Okay, so, and then we have some view from top. So here you are, free protected speech. He then lunges, right? And then the camera goes away. We have another piece of camera angle, though, and you're asking questions, all legitimate questions. You were asking the question, then what happened?
Right, so I'm asking the questions, and then he sort of shuffles behind me, and he takes 5 to 7 steps toward the cameraman and is swiping. So he's swiping, and until a second swipe, mm-hmm. I didn't move at all. But I perceived him to be throwing punches at my cameraman. And I didn't move until maybe a second punch or a second swipe, which is what I perceived.
He attacked our crew.
Yeah.
And you guys, so you see the video here. Now, here's how dishonest the media is, everybody. Thankfully, there's cameras here from above. Inside higher ed, Arizona State instructor followed, injured by Turning Point crew. Lie. Arizona Central, ASU police investigating after queer instructor assaulted in Tempe. Lie. ASU president response. So Michael Crow, the head of ASU, let's go there. This professor came after the cameraman first, and the media is lying about this incident. They are lying as if we hunted him down in the streets, as if we were trying to, you know, assault him. He lunged at us, and out of self-defense, we have the video to show it. Out of self-defense, you say, no. We're not, this is totally justified. And then you asked if he was okay.
Yes.
And if he needed anything.
Yeah. I said, oh, wow, I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to happen, right? Because he tumbled onto the floor, and I was surprised. I go, I'm sorry. And, the fact of the matter is that if he didn't do that, if he didn't go after our cameraman, I wouldn't have touched him.
Yep. And so here is local 12 news. ASU president goes on offensive against Turning Point USA in case of professor's harassment. Michael Crow says this confrontation is kind of outrageous conduct you would expect to see from bullies in a high school cafeteria. Hold on a second. So you're perfectly fine with a professor fantasizing about minor sex and doing drag queens for kids, but yet journalists come and ask him questions. And a minor scuffle occurs because of your professor, and the whole media, Kalen, is now trying to paint this into something that it's not. It's maddening.
Right, right. And, you know, I think actually NBC ran a piece and they had to retract it because it was full of lies.
It's full of lies.
Yeah.
And so this is just the same playbook, right? You go and try to ask questions, right? And let's just play that one tape, the one from above, just so everyone clears. Thankfully, we have this one, this video. It totally vindicates you.
Yeah.
Can we have that one from above, please? So here it is. You guys can be seen in a picture coming. We'll kind of narrate over this. So what's happening at this point here? You guys are asking questions, right?
Yeah. So we're just walking behind the tree line. Yep. And then he decides,
you become visible here.
Right. He cuts
right
behind
there.
The tree.
So the professor's in white. Look, he lunges, and you had a self-defense intercept, and he falls
right,
down,
right,
correct?
Right.
He lunged first. You see there? He didn't think that there would be cameras. So then he goes on social media. By the way, he's in a dress. He goes on social media and acts as if he was like a victim of a hate crime. It was
right.
Like a Jussie Smollett thing. Right,
right, exactly. That's exactly what it looked like
He tried to Jussie Smollett this thing. And I could say this. You could remain quiet. I highly doubt all of the marks on his face were just from that incident. I'm just going to say that It's very weird. And he has this selfie where he's like, I was hunted down by these right-wing fascists because I'm on a professor watch list, while he's in a dress, lying about it. The media picks up the entire thing because they hate Turning Point USA. The only question I have is, did he claim that you guys were saying this is MAGA country before you did that?
I wouldn't be surprised if he did claim that.
Kalen, you're doing a great job. This is constitutionally protected speech. You know, they're trying to come after Turning Point USA through every possible way. It only strengthens our resolve. It makes us more committed to the fight. But just so you guys understand, this is the largest land campus in the country, ASU, who employs this person and is now trying to make it seem that Turning Point USA assaulted and hunted him down. We stand with Kalen, asking the right questions. We're not going to stop. And this was all done in self-defense. Kalen, God bless you. And by the way, Kalen has the most successful video in Turning Point USA history. 72 million views of Kalen confronting a
pedophile.
Trans person. You're a great reporter. Yeah. That's what Kalen is. He's a reporter. He's a journalist. You do a great job. Good job, Kalen. Public Square is one of my favorite apps. There are progressive corporations out there that are just doing terrible things. And Public Square is out there leading the charge against all this garbage that we see from Target, for example, Starbucks strong-arming their customers to support abortion, and financial services like PayPal canceling customers for their political views. Thankfully, we don't have to fund these companies any longer. With Public Square, we now have a solution. Join the movement of millions of patriotic Americans who love truth, our country, and our Constitution at publicsq.mobi/Charlie Kirk. Public Square is an app and a website where you can get connected to tens of thousands of businesses from all different industries that share your value for life, family, and freedom. Public Square is free to join. You can get started today. If you're a business owner, join. If you're a consumer, join. Check it out. Download the Public Square app today. Michael, who runs Public Square, does a beautiful job. Good friend of mine, 100% behind him. Check it out today. So last week, we spent a fair amount of time talking about how there are likely, and almost assuredly, sleeper cells in the interior of the United States. Who you let into your country is what your country becomes. And we've seen this time and time again. If you import the third world, your country will look more and more like the third world. If you bring in people that do not share a Western viewpoint, specifically of Islam, some of them might assimilate, or you get entire communities like the Somali community in Minneapolis and Ilhan Omar. Now, we were attacked by the media, attacked for being fear-mongering, for being baseless. But oh, look, the FBI director, Christopher Wray, just happens to now stumble upon this exact fact. Listen to this. Play cut two.
In this heightened environment, there's no question we're seeing an increase in reported threats, and we've got to be on the lookout, especially for lone actors who may take inspiration from recent events to commit violence of their own.
Wait, hold on a second. I thought that right-wing MAGA terrorism was the greatest threat to the American homeland. Are you now just trying to move the window a little bit? Are you trying to save your tail, Christopher Wray, because you're worried that, I don't know, some Muslim that waltzed across the border with an AK-47 tattoo, did we ever put that picture up, by the way, might actually be a lone gunman sleeper cell or a lone actor? It's a serious question. You see, the United States is collapsing in real time. We know that. It's a civilizational type question. Is Christopher Wray demanding for the border to be closed? This should just drive every single person in this country to be so incensed at your leaders. Incensed. We obviously see increased Muslim terrorist chatter in this country, and we don't have a border. We do not have a border. Welcoming millions and millions and millions. The border situation looks more and more, by the day, like calculated treason. More and more. We do not have any semblance of sovereignty left. And so then Christopher Wray comes out and he says, oh yeah, by the way, we're monitoring threats about the homeland. The same people that told us that white supremacy and right-wing domestic terror is the biggest threat to the American homeland. Now, I can't help but imagine that Christopher Wray's own FBI right now probably, and this is just a guess, it's speculation, probably has more infiltration efforts and surveillance efforts against MAGA groups than Muslim groups. That's a serious question. Is our own government surveilling Muslim groups or MAGA groups more? Of course it's MAGA groups. Of course. And by the way, if this war creates refugees, where will they go? The answer is right now, it doesn't matter. Even if we make Egypt or Iran or Saudi Arabia take Gaza refugees, the secret is out. They could fly them to Nicaragua, buy them a bus ticket to Mexicali, give them a script, say this, and you get into America, and Biden will let them in. So we have to be very clear. Before Israel invades Gaza, and they should go after Hamas, the American government, aka the House of Representatives, this is why I wish we had a Speaker of the House, we need to have some very clear expectations set. Number one, no Gaza refugees. Number two, secure the border, or else the Gaza refugees will fly to Nicaragua, go to Mexicali, and they'll end up in Houston. It just adds another step. 130 countries are, people from 130 countries are entering the United States. So we need to be very specific and clear. Are we taking in Gaza refugees? Why are there not humanitarian corridors built? Are American troops going to be involved? By the way, where are the American hostages? If I were to be very honest, this government just kind of seems as if these hostages are just going to die. That's the tone I'm getting from this government. It is a very lackadaisical, dare I say, indifferent tone towards American hostages being taken. And that frightens me for anyone that is now traveling internationally. Hold on a second. So America funds the Palestinian Authority, at least Trump cut it off. I think Biden renewed it. Can you get that, Blake? 8% of the Palestinian Authority budget is to pay for families to kill Jews. It's called the pay-for-slay policy. You're trying to tell me we have no leverage to get these hostages back? Since Biden is so close to Iran, why doesn't he call Iran and say, we demand our American citizens back? Why is no one talking about the fact that American hostages right now are probably being raped, tortured, if not already murdered, by Hamas? Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. When the government used emergency edicts during COVID to restrict the gathering and worship of churches, three pastors facing the risk of imprisonment, unlimited fines, and their own churches being ripped apart, took a courageous stand and reopened their doors in the face of a world that chose to comply. The Essential Church is a feature-length documentary that explores the struggle between the church and government throughout history. The story uncovers those who have sacrificed their lives throughout history for what they believe in. Rediscover why the church is essential and how we prove this stand remains true from a scientific, legal, and most importantly, a theological and biblical perspective. This is not your typical movie. It will change your life. You need to see this movie with your family and friends. The Essential Church is streaming today exclusively at salemnow.com. That's Essential Church Movie streaming at salemnow.com. That is salemnow.com. Check out The Essential Church Movie. It's terrific. So go to salemnow.com right now. Joining us now is Congressman Jeff Van Drew. Congressman, thank you so much for joining us here. It's a little bit frustrating, I'll be honest, looking at this from afar. We've lost a couple weeks. We need a Speaker of the House. What is the latest? Give us some inside baseball of who you believe is going to be Speaker of the House, please.
Well, Jim Jordan is surging forward. I've had the good fortune to work with him on the Judiciary Committee. He's the chairman, and I've been, you know, really knee-deep with him, actually neck-deep on all the issues. He's focused. He's energetic. He's moving people that were somewhat concerned whether they should vote for him or not. He's moving them over to the right side. And I think we're going to see, and I'm hopeful we're going to see a speaker very soon. I very much support him. Let me tell you why, if I can, if I may, for just a few moments here.
We got time. Take your time.
He's the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. So the fact that we know about the FBI and how they misuse FISA, which for those that are listening, that they understand that FISA is a way for the FBI and agencies to dig into your personal life. It was originally done for 9/11. to make sure that we weeded out any bad actors should be used very sparingly. They can dig into your bank accounts, into your personal life, into your family. It was misused 250,000 times by this FBI and this FBI director. That's wrong. Jim Jordan is the one leading that committee with us that brought it out. But what else did he do? We found out that the FBI was going to actually embed undercover agents. This is hard to believe, but it's actual fact. We have proof, and now they have finally apologized for it, into our Roman Catholic churches. Originally, they said it was only going to be in certain churches, and it only came out of the Virginia field office. Now we found out that it's across the country, again, due to Jim Jordan and the good work that he's done. Jim Jordan has worked in so many areas over so many issues, finding out, you know, about the attorney general who's been in charge of all this, what he's done, the corruption, really bringing to highlight the Grisham report, which, Bull Durham, Durham actually brought out what the truth was about Russian collusion. And we found out from John Durham that there was no Russian collusion. And the FBI, again, was misusing a source that was a corrupt source, a bad actor, an international agent, and paying him hundreds of thousands of dollars of your tax dollars. So this is bad stuff. All that we know, all that's happened with the Biden administration, so much of it has been discovered by the leadership of Jim Jordan.
So, Congressman, I have two very simple, well, they're not simple. They're short questions. They're not simple. How many holdouts are there and who are they? Please help us understand.
Well, you know, I've been really careful with this because there are some intense negotiations going on. I've called some people myself. I know that some people have moved over. I don't want to name names because I don't want to upset the apple cart all here. This is a very delicate situation, and we have to be very careful about what we do. So I don't, you know, Jim's really working hard on this as we speak, working hard over the weekend. Others have too. We've all made phone calls. We're trying to get the support that we need. So it is a different group, I believe, I will say this, than those who were initially against Kevin McCarthy. But understand this, some folks think or have been led to believe, which is not true, that Jim didn't support Kevin McCarthy. Jim wants to see us move forward. He supported Kevin. He supported Steve Scalise. He wants us to move forward. But that didn't work out. Votes weren't there. He is the individual that can bring us all together and make this happen.
So, Congressman, I know you can't say names. It's obviously more moderate. That's definitely been reported. Is it 10 people, 20 people, 30 people? I'm only asking because I'm afraid this thing's going to drag into a third or a fourth week. We're in the middle of a Congress here. We have a CR that's about to expire. We have a wide open border. You know, we're hemorrhaging money. So is this 20 people, 30 people? Just give us an idea of the magnitude of the resistance at this point.
Let me address one thing first. You are right. We have to have a speaker. And it's important to know right now, the future of this republic relies upon the Republican Party itself. And I wouldn't always say that. You know, majorities come and go. This is different. If we want to button up our borders, and now we're worried about actually individuals coming over that are terrorists, individuals from Lebanon, Palestinians, and we've already caught some. I mean, this is a serious issue. Whether it's that issue, the decaying of our cities, whether it is what's happening, the wokeifying of our military, what's happening to our kids in education and the things that we're teaching them in younger grades, all of it has to stop. All of it has to change. And it is this leader, again, Jim Jordan, that can do it. I would estimate it right now at about 10, but that's changing as we speak. Literally today, there were reports. And I'm not going to trust any individual report. And again, I'm not going to speak about individuals, but there are reports that some that would say, never Jordan, have now moved over. They realize the seriousness of this. They realize the issues that are at stake. This is about the future of the United States of America. We need Republican leadership. The Democrats have failed us, and we have to keep that in mind. And it's so important that we take a different direction.
So in closing here, Congressman, can you address that some people are talking about a coalition government with Democrats to get a Democrat speaker? Is that a legitimate threat, you think, that some Republicans might caucus with the Democrats and we effectively lose our majority through parliamentarian means?
Shame on us if that happens. If we can't do this, shame on us. I believe that we can. And I totally reject the notion of a coalition government. We were elected under the most difficult circumstances to a majority for a reason. Let's understand again, this president and this administration has failed us. Let's understand that our borders are open. Our military is being wokeified. We are spending. Do you know that between the 22 budget and the 23 budget, the budget went up 29.8%, including paying all this interest? Pretty soon, all we're going to be doing is paying interest charges. We can't keep doing this. Our kids' education, our future relies upon Republican leadership. This is a really serious issue. This isn't like years ago. As I said before, majorities come and go. Things, you know, different issues come and go. What we have going on in Israel, a horrible, awful, terrible disaster, the terrorism that exists there, what Israelis are going through is unspeakable. It is the face of evil. We have to be ready to deal with that. And quite frankly, there's many, many other issues that I didn't even name. We have to save and bring back our United States of America. It's in the Republican hands. Let me finish with this. You know, we all see an end game. The end game for the Republican Party is to save the United States of America that we know and love, that beacon of light, that great nation that has given so many of us so much opportunity. The end game for the Democrats is to win, and to win so that they can change the social fabric and the constitutional fabric of this great nation forever.
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
No, Congressman, and I just want to reiterate, you were a former Democrat, and so you have a fair amount of credibility here. Remind our audience of that. This is not debate over taxes or just minor spending adjustments. This is a question of, are we going to remain a republic? Are we going to continue the American tradition or abolish the Electoral College, HR1, and add D.C. or Puerto Rico as states? Just riff on that a little bit in closing here, Congressman. You have a unique perspective on it.
I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, in our caucus, you know, my members ask all the time, you know, what's the difference in the Republican caucus and the Democratic caucus? The Democratic caucus ranges from very liberal to extreme liberal. And I don't even think it's the word liberal is appropriate. This is not a traditional liberal. This is a socialist. This is a Marxist. And the policies that they want in place, look what the people around this president have done. He's an empty vessel. He doesn't know really what's going on. Look what they've done. It's wrong. They see the end game. They want to change. They want to change America forever. And I do not. And that's why 5 years ago, I left that party and I would never go back.
Congressman Van Drew, I hope you guys can sort it out. I don't know how real this threat is because, you know, DC, they leak stories, but it seems as if some very moderate Republicans are saying, hey, if we don't have a speaker by Wednesday, we're going to go caucus with Democrats, which would effectively, we would lose the House. All right, Congressman.
That's unacceptable.
It is unacceptable. And we're in the middle of Congress, guys. Come on. By the way, just so we're all clear, our audience is not persuaded by this argument, but just I was talking to moderate type voters this weekend. They think the Republican Party is an absolute joke. They think that you can't govern. Why should I give you power? Not looping you into that, Congressman. I'm sure you're getting that kind of criticism too. It does not exactly build faith in Republicans' ability to govern. I hope you guys sort it out. Congressman, thanks for your time. Appreciate it. Thank you. Hey everybody, Charlie Kirk here. As you know, following this week's horrible events, Israel is at war. The people of Israel are under attack from brutal terrorists targeting innocent civilians, including women and children. There's over 1,000 casualties, as well as kidnapping and infiltration of southern Israeli towns. Israel is now retaliating and could escalate with a ground offensive against Hamas militants. The situation is critical, which is why I'm partnering with our friends at the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews to rush emergency relief to the hardest hit areas. Call the special phone number 800-492-5454 to make an emergency donation. Again, that's 800-492-5454. Your emergency gift will help the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews save lives and provide critical essentials needed right now. During this dark time, the need in war-torn areas will be tremendous. The fellowship has extensive network of staff, partner organizations, and more. Immediately respond with life-saving security and support measures. We ask all people to pray for safety and protection. Call 800-235-887 as we rush urgent need right now to help Israel through the International Fellowship of Christian Jews. In some ways, this is awfully predictable. Last week, we talked about how the Israel issue is going to kind of come to a boiling point. And little did we know we were going to be front and center in our own prediction, right? We thought we'd be watching it. Turns out we were right in the middle of it. Didn't go well for the people that went after us. They got nuked, and they have quieted down a lot ever since we decided to drop a Twitter thermonuclear weapon on them. Anyway, so this speaker fight shouldn't surprise us, though. The speaker fight in some ways is exactly where the Republican Party is at. We are not in a healthy spot as a conservative movement. Some of this is necessary, right? Some of this is like taking your cough syrup to get over a sickness. You don't like it. You need it. You got to get through it. That's what part of this is. So you just have to endure it. You got to grin and bear it. The Democrat Party, they have never been more unified. They rule with an iron fist. They're Stalinists. They're Leninists. And there is no moving them. They operate on fear, totalitarianism. Even the dissenting ranks in the Democrat Party, they control them. They say, okay, you can say a couple things, but we're going to control you with an iron fist. What's happening in the Republican speakership is incredibly frustrating. It basically broadcasts to every swing voter across the country, we are not ready to govern. And we're not. That's actually true. The Republican Party isn't ready to govern because we don't know what we stand for. The reason this is happening is because of exactly why Turning Point Action exists, is there is a gap the size of the Grand Canyon between Republican voters and Republican politicians. Republican voters want a closed border, a fair Department of Justice, and spending cuts. There's other things they want, but those are three major things, and we have received none of them. We aren't even receiving it performatively. We just get excuses, we get punts, we get delays, we get one-sided answers, and so this is inevitable. And until Republicans who go to DC care more about their voters than special interests, this is going to keep on happening. And let me just tell you, there is a bloody Republican infighting. I could call it a civil war. I don't like that. There's a better word for it. It's overused. There's a bloody Republican battle that is underway. And the Israel issue is exploiting it, by the way. Not ironically, the Israel issue is really turning some people on the right into just very, very emotional pundits, writers, overly so. And so the Israel issue is going to expose, in some ways, just different philosophical and intellectual approaches to very important issues. And it's just gotten super nasty. Yesterday, you have Megyn Kelly and Candace Owens going after it like 10 out of 10, all on the Israel issue. And you're going to see more and more of that. Okay, I'm telling you right now, I've been through this before. It's like pent-up anger, pent-up frustration. People are just going to be at each other's throats. And in some ways, it's healthy to get the bad stuff out of your movement. But the problem is that you have your voters that are 80 or 90% intellectually predisposed to an America First nationalist populist agenda. And then you have 80 to 90% of your office holders that aren't. And it's a square peg through a round hole problem, right? It just doesn't fit. You can't make it work that way. You could call it a disconnect. You could call it a separation. And the Republican primary is where we thought this would actually unfold. And hilariously, it didn't. Donald Trump is up 50 points. He's raising tons of money. The Republican primary, I mean, honestly, in the last couple of weeks, have we covered the Republican primary? Are these people even running for office? Except Nikki Haley going on TV talking about finish them. And Lady Graham, well, he's not even running, saying we have to bomb Iran. The Republican primary is basically just going through the motions. Donald Trump is up historic numbers. Historic. But what I'm getting at is the Republican Party is not in a healthy position right now. It's not. Philosophically, we don't know what to believe. We don't know our navigational compass. The only one that could solve this is Donald Trump winning the presidency. Him solving it could reorient it. When Trump was president, it was so united because what he did was so popular, was so decisive. Understand, the Republican Party is ripping itself apart like we just lost a presidential race badly, but the election is a year away. We can't pick a speaker. We have some of our top voices just shredding each other on social media. I had to endure an entire weekend of being called an anti-Semite from reputable voices. It's nasty. It's like the English Civil War. It's nasty, brutish, and I hope it's short because the Democrats are laughing while we're tearing ourselves apart, and we are not prepared for 2024 in the slightest. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up, I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.